If you would turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. I had intended originally this week to start chapter 7, but in reading over chapter 6, I got stuck on the last verse of the chapter, verse 27. But before we read it, I want to start tonight by asking you a question. And this is a question that I've asked myself all week long. Do you believe that God is with us? Those of you who profess to trust in Christ, who I might add is God. He is God. Do you believe that God is with you? Has God given you the faith to truly believe that? Now, we've seen over and over again, not only from the whole of Scripture, but especially in this study on Joshua, that God's people, Israel, believed that God was with them. The snow was melting in the mountains and is flooding the Jordan River. The waters overflowing the banks. What would cause the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant to get into the water and stand still in a strong current in a raging river? They believed God was with them. And that answers faith. They believed God and they knew that God was with them. Now Joshua told the people, when you see the priest go before you carrying the Ark of the Covenant, you follow after them. And we've seen that Christ's picture, the Ark of the Covenant picturing Christ, that we're to follow after Him and Him alone. What would cause men, women, children, by the millions, there were millions of these folks, to get into that water? Same answer. Faith. They believed that God was with them, and they believed what God had told Joshua, for they knew that God was with them. Just as simple as that. Faith. It was by faith that Joshua believed God, and it was by faith that the people believed Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, we'll look at some other verses there in a moment. He told the people, he said, "You come here and you hear the word of the Lord, your God." He's your God. He's my God, the only God, the only true God. And that's what they did. And I believe that's the reason that you're here tonight. You've come to hear again, not the words of a sinful man, but to hear a word from the Lord your God. That's our reason for coming, to hear again from the Lord. That's the reason that I pray, my heart's desire is, God, don't let me stand alone. If you hear only me, you won't hear anything. And that's what we all need. We need to hear a word from the Lord our God. We need to hear the message of redemption. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart everywhere. Tell me that story, most precious. What a precious story it is. God's people need to hear a word from the Lord. And I'll tell you this, a believer in Christ won't have to be coerced or forced in any way to hear the precious message of the gospel. It's food necessary for spiritual life. None of us who desire to live physically go without physical food, do we? Don't go without drink. No, a true child of God desires to taste again from that bread from heaven and that water of eternal refreshing. The Word of God is not to be a book to be understood by human wisdom or logic. If a man or a woman approaches it in that way, they'll never gain anything from it. It's foolishness to the natural man. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. God's Word is to be believed by faith, and that is a gift of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. Romans 10:17. God's people crossed Jordan by faith. They believed what God had told them, and they believed that God was with them. And this is the only way that you and I will pass from death to life. So let me ask again, let me ask me, I'm asking myself, do I believe that God's with me? This is the only way that we'll enter into God's land of promise. Do we believe what God says in this book? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if we do believe it, a child of God knows that it was God-given faith that they believe it. God gave us the faith to believe it. Joshua 3, look at verse 5. And Joshua says to the people of Israel, he said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. And notice these words, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He's going to do wonders among you. And you know what? They believed him. They believed him. Look down at verse 10. Hereby, Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is what? Among you. And that he will without fail. Notice those words, without fail. God cannot fail. And he will without fail drive out from you, from before you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All your enemies, God will do away with. And the child of God is made here to see the object of our faith. What was the object of the people of Israel's faith? Look at verse 11. Behold. That word means give earnest attention and consideration. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And God's preachers stand and say, behold, the Son of God, Christ has passed over before you from the certain death of the Jordan River into life, into the land of promise. The child of God knows that God will do all things without fail. For they know that all his promises, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, certain, for sure, and amen, so be it. But it's in him. Don't miss that. God's love is in Christ. God's grace and mercy is in Christ. And it was by faith and believing God's word that was given to Joshua that they all crossed safely. It was there, in one sense of the word, obedience in faith that God dried the waters up. And it's by believing the word of God from our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, that all his chosen will cross Jordan safely. That's our only hope. Looking to him that goes before us. It was by faith and obedience to the commandment of God that the children of God marched around Jericho. To the natural man, that would have seemed ridiculous. How are we going to take the city, Joshua? We're going to send the men of war. We're going to climb ladders and go over the wall. We're going to dig under it. He said, no, we're going to march around it. We're going to blow the trumpet, the ram's horn, and we're going to be quiet. We're going to do that for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to walk around it 7 times, blow the ram's horn, and we're going to shout, and the walls are going to fall flat. The world would say, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. A child of God said, I believe that. I believe that because God's with us. God is with us. Why did the walls fall? Can you tell me that? One word answer. It was by faith. That's what Hebrews 11:30 says. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty direct answer. After they were compassed about 7 days. We saw last week that it was by faith that Rahab the harlot was saved alive. By faith. Believe in God. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I know that all these things happen by the grace of God. But it's through faith. which is the gift of God. We're saved by grace, how? Through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. In Hebrews 11:6, that wondrous chapter that is a chapter about faith. By faith, Moses. By faith, the walls fell. By faith, Rahab. By faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We can't please God without faith in His Son. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Believe that He's what? Believe that He's God. He's the God of all grace. He's the God who gives saving faith. It's not of yourselves. Oh, that people would stop looking to themselves, looking to their will, their way to be saved, and look to the only one who can save. Has God given you this faith? Has God given me this faith? Now listen closely. If He has, then you'll come and you'll hear the word of the Lord your God. And that's why I said you're here tonight. Outside of Christ, we can't keep God's holy law. His commandment is just this. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Heavy laden with sin. Laboring over our sin. If it's heavy on you, come unto me. That's God's commandment. And yet we cannot come. We will not come and we cannot come unless God make us willing in the day of His power. What did our Lord tell those in John chapter 15? He simply said, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and without me you can do some things, few things, one or two things. No, nothing. Without me you can do nothing. We're helpless and hopeless if we don't believe that God's with us. That's just the truth. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, though, and there's no controversy here, there's no contradiction. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now, as I said, tonight I want us to look at that last verse of chapter 6, verse 27, and it begins like this: so the Lord was with Joshua. He was with him. And his fame was noised throughout all the country. The Lord was with Joshua. And I want us to consider this amazing statement and how it applies to you and me. God Almighty was with Joshua. Joshua was with God's people. So God was with His people. And God is with His precious and beloved Son. What did God thunder from heaven? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Jesus Christ, our Joshua, and God who is in Christ, is with His people. When our Lord ascended into glory, He gave this precious promise to all those that seen Him ascend. He said, I'm with you always. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So be it, He said. Matthew 28:20. God is with those whom Christ is with for another reason also. He is God. Now, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Just one verse. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And notice these next words. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, what? God with us. God with us. Oh, what a comfort to know the elect sinners have God with them. I know that God is with me. But Lord, help my unbelief. You see, by any other name than Jesus Christ, it wouldn't be as sweet. No other name can fairly describe His work of saving His people from their sins. The word Jesus itself, the same as Joshua, means Savior. In order for a sinner to be saved, God's going to have to be with them. The Word was made flesh and did what, Ray? Dwelt among us. That's being with us, isn't it? He dwelleth among us, John 1:14. And because He dwells among us, by God's grace, we behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's your hope. That's your hope. That's my hope. That's all believers' hope. And this small phrase, for lack of a better term, God with us, it entails more than our puny little minds can take in. When it's broken down in two parts, I think we can more clearly see its matchless beauty. First, we can consider just the word God. You dwell on that for a minute. We see who that is with us. That makes all the difference in the world. And say the preacher's with us, the Pope's with us, the priest is with us, says God with us. That makes all the difference. Now some may say, you mean to tell me that you believe that God and man can be in one person? I don't understand it. But you and I rest our souls on the fact that that's the truth. God became a man. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We rest our soul on that divine truth. Job said, who can by searching find out God? It has to be revealed. It has to be made effectual to our hearts. It was God who laid in Bethlehem's manger. Emmanuel, God with us. It was God who was carried around as an infant in a woman's arms. It was God that lived a life of suffering and died on the cross, wrongfully accused, falsely convicted and condemned in the place of His chosen people who deserved that awful penalty. And at the same time, He was upholding all things by the power of His Word. God's hanging on the cross, dying for His chosen people, and all the while, as God, He's upholding all things by the word of His power. That's unfathomable. My natural, puny, little, finite mind can't understand that, but God gives us a heart to believe. If this were not so, there'd be no hope for any of us. You see, it's who died that makes the difference. Who maketh thee to differ from another? God did. God did. It's who died that saves and justifies the elect of God. And when we by grace are given true revelation of these things, we'll truly stand amazed, as the song says, in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. You know why? Jesus the Nazarene is God with us. The word God alone. Just the word God. If God gave a man any inkling of understanding, the word God alone should strike our hearts with terror. God, holy, holy, righteous, just, angry with the wicked every day. But God with us? That inspires us, doesn't it? That inspires us with hope and confidence. And may we admire and be comforted by this wondrous truth. God is with us. That same God who told Moses at the burning bush, he said, Moses, back up. You take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Is now found in the body of a frail child. It was God who made Himself of no reputation. And He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. God did that. And He did it for you, and He did it for me, if we be His chosen people. And may we never forget or take for granted that we're redeemed by the blood of God who is with us. It was God's blood that was shed. The blood of bulls and goats doesn't get the job done. It was the precious blood of Christ that was shed that covers our sins forever. He was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In Him. In Him. He who spoke all things into existence. He that created all things for His own glory. He who redeems those whom He chose before time was. And He who took on the nature of one of His creatures, sin excluded. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He is the only one who's ever been self-existent, self-sustaining, and he condescended to be a baby who grew into a small child, a young man, subjecting himself to parents. He was obedient to his parents. God was. You know why? Because he kept God's law perfectly. Honor your father and your mother. I can assure you he did. I can assure you he did. He's our example in all things. And as a man, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Christ was and is God with us. And I'm going to tell you something. This is what blows my mind. Just as he was with Moses, Abraham, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, David, Solomon. I typed in the concordance, God was with him. And it told it, all these different ones came up. Ones that I mentioned, Moses, Abraham, Joseph. God was with him, it said. And God was with him. God was with him. But he is also with his elect people. It's amazing. God loves you just as much as he loved Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Solomon and David. Just as much. Because he loved them in Christ, and that's where he loves us, in Christ. In Christ alone. Even now, Christ loves his people as he did David, whom he said was the apple of his eye and the love of his heart. Now I wonder, and there again I'm speaking of myself only, do I really believe that? If I did, I wonder if I would act as I do. Just this week, don't have to think back far to find unbelief in my life. Just this week, I've had phone trouble, car trouble, appliance trouble, and shamefully I acted as a man that has no faith in God, in Christ at all, even the light afflictions. I'm not even sure these things qualify as light afflictions. But even light afflictions of this life expose our unbelief. I found a verse in Psalm 119, verse 71. David said, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted." And then he went on to say, "That I might learn thy statute, that I might learn thy ways." That's why God sends trouble. That's why God sends affliction. Teach us something. To teach us that we might learn his ways. Even so in salvation, it was when God sent trouble to my soul and my heart, and I saw that I was lost. I saw that there was no hope for me, that I deserved what God's word said I was about to get. He that believeth not is condemned already. This is what I deserve. The wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. And yet, in that trouble of soul, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Because I learned. I learned that God is not willing that any of his people should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God taught me. David said, "It's good. It was good for me that I was afflicted." Oh, may I remember that the next time some small trial comes my way. And I pray that God give me the grace to believe it if a big one ever really comes. It's good for me that I've been afflicted that I might learn. Our Lord said by inspiration in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said," here's my comfort now, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I wonder if I've ever really truly been content. I wonder if I've ever truly been content without coveting. Look back at Joshua chapter. Look at chapter 1 for a minute. God told Joshua here in chapter 1, verse 5, "There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." And notice those next words. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." God's with us. Look down at verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1. And here we see the faith of God's people. Joshua had told the folks what God had told him, and they answered Joshua saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee only." And that really would be better written probably "because." "We'll hearken unto thee because the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." They knew he'd been with Moses. Here comes Pharaoh's army and they're caught between them and the Red Sea. And Moses said, "You be still. You be still, and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord." Look at chapter 3, verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." You see, God magnifies his beloved Son in the sight of all his people. That's true Israel. God's people are true Israel, that they may know that he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. We may know. That's what he says here. That they may know. Do you know that? I know it. We've seen him in the still waters of death. And we see that in Christ we pass on dry ground into the land of promise. We've seen our enemies. Those 12 spies that went out and earlier when Moses was still alive came back and said, "Oh, there are giants in the land." And Joshua and Caleb said, let's go right now. Let's go take the land that God gave." Why did they say that? They knew that God was with them. We've seen our enemies, sin, death, the grave, the world, defeated in our lives by the sound of the gospel trumpet. That one note blown time and time again. Tell me the story of Jesus. Right on my heart everywhere. The walls of our desperately wicked and deceitful hearts fall flat with the shout of the glorious message of Christ and Him crucified. Did they not? Man, there was a wall of stone built around my heart. God knocked it down flat with the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the gospel. So in considering these things, we can see why. And again, in chapter 6, verse 27, notice how it starts. It starts with that little word, "so." You see, in knowing these things, so. So it is. So by God-given faith, we must conclude, so the Lord was with Joshua. And his fame was noised throughout all the country. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Joshua. Now listen. Emmanuel. It said in Matthew 1, which is interpreted, and it's interpreted in your heart and in mine, those whom God has been pleased to reveal by divine revelation. It's interpreted in the hearts of God's chosen elect people that God is with us. God is with us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know any famous people in this world. I don't. I've seen a few famous people. And I've seen actors in airports, and I've seen musicians in concert. I've seen them, but I don't know them. I don't know any famous people in this world. But I know the most famous of all who sits on the throne, and all else fall in comparison to him. I know the most famous of all, and his fame is spread. What did verse 27 say? His fame was noised throughout all the country. And this famous one that you and I know, his fame is spread and shed abroad in the hearts of his people. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." I speak of none other, my dear friends, than Emmanuel, who's God with us. Now, the next time the light affliction comes my way, I'm going to do my best to remember that. If God be for us, who can be against us? I think it's about time I start acting like that.